Well, now I draw your attention to the text this morning, which is Exodus chapter 7 and verse 7. Exodus chapter 7 and the 7th verse. The words of the text are as follows. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron, that is his brother, was 83 years old, when they spoke unto Pharaoh. Let me repeat it. Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, when they spoke unto Pharaoh. Now, just assuming that you were to live to the grand old age of 100. Not many of us are likely to reach that, but just for a moment, imagine that you do. And if you're going to celebrate your centenary, how do you think you would like to celebrate it? Well, on his 100th birthday, Tsuchi Igashi, Japanese gentleman, celebrated the event by climbing to the summit of Mount Fuji, a height of 12,395 feet, and you'll just have to put it into meters and so work it out. But that's how he celebrated his 100th birthday. I don't think that that would be my aspiration and desire, but it certainly was his, and he came to the top. Somebody has said the number one problem with older people is that they lack vision. The wrinkled mountain climber from Japan, he certainly didn't lack vision, and when he got to the top, he didn't lack a view. What a panorama of beauty spread out before him as he was able to turn maybe those 360, or was it 380 degrees, can't remember exactly now, turn right around anyhow and look and see all that lay beneath his feet. In their 80s, two brothers, Moses and Aaron, found themselves with a vision. Not only with a vision, but a vocation, that is, a calling. Because we read that Moses was 80 years old, Aaron, his brother, was 83 years old. That's the time, that's the moment in life when they spoke to Pharaoh. Now, I have experienced in recent years that when you have clocked up a certain number of years, and age begins to slow the tempo of one's life, there are sort of subtle hints from various quarters that surely retirement must be just around the corner for you, and when's it going to happen? And incidentally, do you know that retirement is not something which the Bible talks about? We talk about it. It talks about rest. It doesn't talk about retirement. However, the Bible, whilst it has a lot to say about young people, it has a lot indeed to say to young people, also has a great deal to say about and to older people. Take, for example, Abraham. Abraham and Sarah, we are told, were old and well stricken in age. But at that particular time of life, it was the time when miracles happened. Marvelous things began to take place. Moses himself hadn't lost the sense of passing time when, as he was about to exit this world, he said, I am 120 years old this day. And you know that the last 40 years of his life were the most triumphant, the most testing, the most exciting, the most exacting years of his life. Caleb, whom I'm sure you all recall, said, I am this day 85 years old, and as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the days of Moses, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go in and to go out. The old warrior, he wasn't ready for a pen-pushing desk job. He was still ready to put on the gear to get out and fight the enemy. Concerning Joshua, we are told that he was certainly ancient, he was aged, he was stricken in age, in fact, and he said, I am going the way of all the earth. But before he did, this battle-hardened captain of the armies of Israel addressed his troops for one last time at the age of 85 and said, Be ye therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. And when he died at the age of 110. King David, though his conquests are legend, was not able to defend the steady march of creeping old age. Whatever he fought, and he fought many a Goliath in his day, he couldn't hold back old age, which is gradually beginning to steal upon him. And we are told that King David was old, and he was stricken in years. John the Baptist was born to parents who, we are told, were now well stricken in years. And the Apostle Paul, he referred to himself as Paul the Aged, now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Clearly, old age doesn't necessarily guarantee that one's last years will be spent in some cozy comfort zone. He was in prison for the cause of Jesus Christ as an old man. Now, returning to Moses in particular, we might say that what he was in his old age, certainly in that latter period of his life, was the result of all that had gone before. And all those previous 80 years was a time of preparation for him to be the leader that he eventually was called to be. In fact, it took 80 years to knock him into shape, that he might become the man to face the mammoth task associated with the Exodus, the deliverance of a nation from under a nation. When he was a young man, he thought he could do it single-handedly with a bunch of fives. We read about that in Exodus chapter 2. But you see, one needs something more than passionate zeal, which is often associated with young men or young women. Something is required above and beyond physical strength. And you can be flexing those muscles and doing everything else that is necessary to get you into shape and to get you into form. You can have those two things together, but they're not enough. In fact, they're probably worth very little. But what he lacked, and this is the thing that was necessary for him to have, and it took 80 years, and you don't go to the gym and find it. What he lacked was patience. And he lacked prudence. And he lacked wisdom. You may pay your annual fee to go to the gym and do the workout whenever you like. But you see, it takes much more than that for you to be the man of character whom God will use to do a great and a mighty work. And you don't get patience, and neither do you get wisdom with stimulants or steroids and get some kind of adrenaline rush. God would mold and make the man, Moses, by 40 years in solitary. That is, by taking him away from everything that he had been acquainted with and familiar with as he grew up in the household of Pharaoh and as he attended the university in Egypt. And God would take him away from that so that he would become virtually unknown, a man who lived in the wilderness, out of touch with what was going on almost in the rest of the world. For 40 years, he would be a shepherd. For 40 years, he would spend life in the back of beyond. And it is there, not in the university, not in Pharaoh's palace, but there that God would form the character of a man who learned how to handle sick and stupid sheep in all kinds of weather, through sleepless nights and amidst the loneliness of the desert. That's where God was molding and shaping the man who he was going to use as his instrument to actually rescue and deliver his people out of Egypt. It was a time of preparation, that second 40 years in his life. There is a reference to Winston Churchill at the time of World War II. We read, Churchill himself would later comment that he felt his whole life's experiences had prepared him for his role as a leader during World War II. The writer who is drawing attention to this said, he reminds me of Esther in the Bible who saved the whole Jewish nation at her own peril. And it says in Esther chapter 4, verse 14, and who knows whether you are come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And indeed, who knows whether any of us are come at such a time as this? We may think, well, it's a bit late in life. We might have to call it quits, because, well, I've now got to 60, 70, haven't really accomplished very much anyway, so what am I going to do now? I might as well give up. But as far as Winston Churchill was concerned, he looked back upon it and said, I think that everything that has gone before has been a preparation for this very moment. He was 66 years of age when at that time he led the British government. When he was 82 years of age, he wrote his several volumes, which is called A History of the English-Speaking Peoples. He did that in his 80s. What if two-thirds of your life and mine are a preparation for the last stretch of the marathon and the journey? Do you think possibly that society has so conditioned us to think that at 65 it's time now to give up and to slow down? And that if we haven't achieved anything or accomplished anything by then, well, we might as well just give up. It's all over. But what if the preceding years are preparation for unexpected achievements? Some of you are familiar with Laura Ingalls Wilder. She was 64 when her first book, Little House by the Woods, was published. The TV series was known as Little House on the Prairie. 64. Nelson Mandela was 76 when he was elected president of South Africa. Michelangelo, the sculptor and the painter, was designing churches at the age of 88. Peter Roget, and those of you who have Roget's thesaurus at home, was updating his famous thesaurus at the age of 90. Leo Tolstoy learnt to ride a bicycle at the age of 67. We think that's the time to get off, but that's the time when he got on. Eamon de Valera, he served as president of Ireland at the age of 91. Thomas Edison produced the telephone at the age of 84. It's interesting that God shapes us gold, God molds us in his own forge. And if you were to enter into the blacksmith shop of the Almighty, you would discover that it is not lined with books. There are files, there are hammers, and a flaming furnace in which the instruments are prepared for the master's use and for further use. All these years, one's been beaten black and blue by many trials and troubles. Samuel Rutherford used to cry out, praise God. Praise God for the hammer, the fire and the furnace. The process through which God has led me, 40 years, 60 years, or whatever the case may be, has been slow and painful. But now is the time that I have been so shaped and so molded that I am useful and fit for the Master's use. You see, at 40 years of age, Moses would not have been sufficiently equipped, neither at 50, nor 60, nor 70. Had to wait until he was 80. Previously, he wouldn't have been equipped. He wouldn't have been ready. He wouldn't have been prepared to knock on Pharaoh's door. But at 80, fresh from the sheepfolds, he could now stand with his rod before the Lord of Egypt. You see, that which was before was a time of preparation. And all I'm suggesting that whilst maybe we're not going to achieve and accomplish those things which I have sort of linked with people that we are acquainted with in some measure, at least the mind and the heart should be not to give up. Not to take on, as it were, the kind of a pessimistic outlook in life at all. Society has finished with me. Gray hairs are everywhere. I got a bit of a stoop and so on. I've slowed down a bit. There's nothing more that really I can do very much. Doesn't necessarily follow. Well, now, that's the preparation. What about the purpose? I'm very tempted to say perseverance, but I choose the word purpose as suited to the individual who is motivated by an inner longing to attain an end which is doggedly pursued in the face of all odds and difficulties. There is a purpose, and that purpose drives me on. Forgetting the things which are behind, I press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In my preparation, I came across this the other day. There was a lady by the name of Evelyn Brand, and she came to India as a young missionary. After her husband's death, she pressed on doing the work. Living on a pittance, she was caring for villages scattered over 5 mountain ranges. At the age of 75, Granny, as she was now known as, had grown too old for such arduous work. That was at 75. Having fallen and broken her hip, she had to be carried down the mountain by stretcher. Then she was driven 150 bone-jarring miles to the nearest hospital. By the time her son, a brilliant medical missionary, finally arrived, she was walking with 2 canes and managing to ride a pony to outlying villages. The skilled doctor mustered all his persuasive powers to lovingly convince his aging mother that she presented a constant medical hazard. Riding horseback to such remote, rugged mountains with her paralyzed legs and deficient sense of balance. That's what she did. Brushing aside his pleas, Granny toiled for 18 years more. Despite being ravaged by tropical diseases and suffering concussions and fractures from falls off her pony, she was 93 when she reluctantly exchanged her horse for a stretcher, continuing her work by being carried from village to village by devoted Indians for her 2 remaining years. Well, there you are. We may not necessarily go that far. We may not last that long. We may think, well, just falling off the horse and bruising the hip, that's enough, and that's a signal, and that's a sign from God that I am to give up. But she didn't, and on she went. Paul had a purpose, and age wasn't going to stop him. As I mentioned just a moment ago, he said, I press toward the mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In Psalm 37 and verse 25, and also verse 27, the psalmist said, I have been young and now I'm old. I am an old man. But nonetheless, he was resolved. This was his purpose and this was his intention throughout all of his life to depart from evil and to do good. We find that the slippery sands of time are running out of our hourglass very quickly. But this is not a time for slackness, for giving up. May we not have to like Moses, be beaten like some kind of stubborn mule into action simply because we think we are past it. Don't adopt the attitude. May gray hairs be rendered golden with glory, even as we got older. Like John on the Isle of Patmos, who was an old man in his 90s, he beheld anew the risen Son of God, and he was bidden at that age to take up his pen and write. There was a black American missionary to Liberia. Her name is Eliza George, and she was forced by her mission to retire at the age of 65. You know that number again, 65. Undeterred, she raised her own support and continued independently for almost another 30 years. I suppose some of you are thinking that I'm saying all this because I ain't going to retire and I'm going to be hanging around, God willing, for another 30 years. You think, oh my goodness me, have we got him for another 30 years? Well, that doesn't follow. I'm just simply really drawing attention to a spirit and a mindset and an attitude that we as the children of God might endeavor to adopt. There was a purpose in the heart and the voice of a young teenager when she was baptized before her 20s, and she said, I want to go on the mission field. And she went when she was a widow at the age of 71. And at the age of 71 and beyond that, Margaret Cole traveled to Papua New Guinea, to Guatemala, Thailand, Burma, and to communist Russia. She went and she traveled. After his 70th year, George Muller kept statistics of his travels, and this is after his 70th year, and he traveled 200,000 miles within the next 17 years, preaching and teaching the Word of God. He was 87 when he gave up. Up until his 88th year, John Wesley preached 40,000 sermons. And he traveled 225,000 miles. He did it on horseback. Didn't have a bicycle. Didn't have a motorbike. He didn't have a car. In all kinds of weather. Because he was in the British Isles. So you can just imagine what it would have been like. He journeyed and he traveled, preaching the Word of God, up until his 88th year. Just returning for a moment to the passage of Scripture that we read, Psalm 92, verses 12 through to 15. There is something of a principle there that we might just give consideration to. Psalm 92, verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, and he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God, and they shall still bring forth fruit in old age, and they shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. It is interesting in this small congregation that we have a company of people who have certainly been under my own ministry, some for over 20 years, over 21 years, 22, 23, 24 years. It's a long time. My wife, as we were talking about it the other day, she's been under my ministry for a long, long, long time. So you might have some sympathy for her. She has listened to one voice over all these years. But a lot of people here have listened and been here. And many of these people who are now in their 70s, now in their 80s, are models and examples of those who, though slowing down in many ways physically, do not allow such things as even their poor health to hinder them coming from the house of the Lord morning and evening. And in some cases, are present also at the weeknight study and meeting. They have every reason to give up and say, no, I'm 65 plus. It's time for me to give in. It is time for me to give up. But they don't. Or maybe they don't have a job. Maybe they don't have children all around them. They don't have those kind of claims. But there is a slowing down nonetheless. And they are sick in many instances. And they feel the frailty of life. But they persevere. And they endure. And they continue. Because even if the outward man is perishing, the inward man is flourishing. And there is this desire and there is this commitment to the things of God and to the work of the Lord. And so on they go, in spite of the years, until there is clear evidence that they really cannot do it anymore. They are completely and utterly bedridden or crippled. And so they cannot go out at all. But whilst they can and whilst they're able, and I think they are to be held up as examples to us, because we are models to one another of that endurance and of that commitment, not to the church, not to me, but to the Lord Jesus Christ, whom they love and whom they want to serve. And they have served him in other ways when they were younger, with the activity and the strength and the energy of youth. But they continue nonetheless to show forth the Spirit. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep on going. I'm going to be at my post as long as I possibly can. But God promises, and you may find it in the passage which I don't have quite with me at the moment, that God promises to keep his people unto old age and unto gray hairs. And he will promise to keep them and to preserve them and to protect them. What I really want to draw attention to, however, is a principle. The principle is that even in old age, one will be flourishing. The prayer is that God will keep and protect and preserve his people until their old age and supply them with all necessary grace and energy. The promise is, and it's somewhere there in the book of Isaiah, and I haven't got it before me right now, that God will keep his people, he will sustain them, he will be with them, even unto gray hairs, and he will carry them. And we have the persuasion that that will be the case, because even Paul himself, in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 18, he says, "The Lord will deliver you from every evil work, and he will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory for ever and ever. Amen." He was old. He had fought the good fight. He had run the race. But nonetheless, though he was awaiting the crown to be placed upon his head, until that hour, he was going to continue steadfastly and to persevere. And he was persuaded that that which he had committed unto the Lord would indeed protect him and preserve him, and God will bring him and guard him unto everlasting life. So you have these principles put in place, flourishing, growing, advancing, even in old age. You have the prayer that God will sustain and keep and guard, even though one is old, that God indeed would be true to his promise and carry me through the river, carry me even into glory, and that I have this persuasion that what I have committed to him will never be lost. Moses and Aaron, they were in their 80s when they began their work, a great life work. Maybe God has been preparing you. God has a purpose for your life. Don't despair. Don't be despondent. Don't think that you have accomplished nothing. Be content with where you are and trust yourself to God, that he will continue to direct your ways and to fit you so as to employ you in his service, to his glory, maybe in your 60s, your 70s, your 80s, when everybody else around thinks, when you're done for. If you are the Lord's, that's the important thing, and that you be true to him in your youth and even unto old age. For his name's sake, amen.